This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Debbie Reber, and welcome to Tilt Parenting, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I get a lot of questions from listeners looking for help navigating complex situations with their kids. So in this new mini-episode format, I'll be answering listener questions, sometimes all on my own, sometimes with one of the parent coaches from the Differently Wired Club, and sometimes with an author or expert who's become a trusted resource. Think of these bite-sized, short and sweet parent-leaning episodes as a quick check-in. One question, one answer, featuring strategies, tips, or reframes that can support you in your parenting world. To submit a question for a parent-leaning episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. All right, here's today's episode. Hey everyone, today I have parent coach Margaret Webb with me for this Parent Lean In episode. Margaret is a dear friend. She was my very first parent coach back when my kid was a little and I was really struggling. She's also the lead parent coach in my Differently Wired Club, where she provides a ton of support for the parents in that community. And you also might have heard my recent episode with her where we talked about her wonderful new book, A Hero's Journey in Parenting, Parenting the Child You Didn't Expect When You Were Expecting. So if you haven't heard that yet, definitely go back and check that episode out. But Margaret, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so today we're going to tackle, I thought this was a really great question. It was sent in to us, and I am pretty confident that at least some aspects of this question are going to resonate with a lot of listeners. Okay, so the question is, our son really struggles with games or any competition and responds with physical aggression when he loses. We've tried many therapies and medication with no changes in this area. We know this is a nervous system and possible PDA response, thus accommodate at home by allowing him to win. However, he started to play games at school and is having outbursts as his peers don't accommodate and will win. I'm not sure if our accommodations are inadvertently creating more issues as he is so used to winning, and if we should create more opportunities at home for him to lose so he can learn to work through it. However, I feel like we've tried that and he still was never able to cope. Would love any ideas. And just for context, this is a 9-year-old who is not diagnosed with autism, ADHD, and anxiety. I have a lot of thoughts about this one because I read it. I was like, oh yeah, been there. And Margaret, I'll be so curious to hear what you have to say. But here are a couple of kind of my big picture thoughts. First, I would just say this is definitely something that you will want to practice, especially if your child is drawn to games. You know, if a child doesn't want to play games and it's not necessary, then that's also something you could just like reduce exposure to for now until your child's a little older and has better coping strategies. But if your kid is really drawn to games and competition, like so many of our kids are, I think it's a great idea to start practicing losing. And this is something we did really explicitly at home. And we would do games like Connect Four or Uno, so games that could be really fast. The stakes were pretty low, and they were also games of chance, which can be especially frustrating, but it kind of took that piece out that there's a skill deficit or, you know, your child's not smart enough. It's just like, it's just random. It's just chance. So we would really intentionally practice those games, and we would do a lot of prep work, right? We would talk about, you know, what's our plan? How do you think you'll respond if the game doesn't go your way? What are you going to do if I win? Do you want to practice it? Like, we could role play this, and we would role play losing games. You can be silly with this too. So, but role playing can be really powerful here. And then when playing the actual game, you as the parent who's playing with them constantly like checking in and noticing, right? And trying to be really attuned to what's going on with their nervous system. So if you notice they're starting to escalate, or you can see this game is looking like it's not going to go your way, you could then say, I'm noticing you're starting to get a little upset. Should we take a pause? Or I have a feeling this, you may not win this game. Do you want to keep going? Do you think you'll be okay? What's your plan? So it's that kind of practice. And I'm talking short practice. I'm not saying like long drawn out Uno or other game tournaments. Sometimes these are just very small opportunities. But I think navigating losing, kind of generally speaking, is a big skill for so many differently wired kids, because there's so much unpredictability. There are big feelings that come up. And again, those games of chance can sometimes be worse because they're so unpredictable. But then skill games can be challenging in their own way, because sometimes a loss might feel like it's threatening to a child's sense of competency or identity. So those are some initial thoughts. I have more, but I want to actually pause and check in with you, Margaret. What came up for you first when you heard this question?
Yeah, I had written down, you know, like practicing. And so I think, you know, in any situation, I like to think of that is like a recurring source of tension for you, your child, like experiences that they're having. I love to kind of reflect upon like the before, the during, and then the after. And so the before, the practicing and really prepping them is so great, especially when there's anxiety involved, to see like, what is it going to be like if somebody else wins? And then, you know, kind of sorting out the other aspect of like, do you want to play with peers? And do you want to play these games with friends? Because if you do, then there are some things to take into consideration of like, if, you know, if one person wins all the time, then is it fun? And is playing, like, what is the purpose of playing games? Winning, yes, winning is a huge part of it. But how do we kind of redefine why we're playing games? And are we playing just to win, or are we playing so that we can do things with our peers, with our friends, you know, and really thinking about, okay, like if I'm doing it to play with peers and I also want to win, you know, that's where the practice comes in of practicing. Like, so what happens if you don't win? And can we practice being excited for somebody who does win, even though we're kind of disappointed that we didn't win? But what does winning really mean? Does it mean anything? What does it mean for you if you win? And I think that comes more into play when it's a skill-based game of what are, you know, and asking them, like, what are you making it mean if you win this game? Or what are you making it mean if you lose it? And the words, you know, sore loser, I don't like those. I know that Michelle Garcia Winner, she has a character as part of her social thinking, and it's the destroyer of fun. And I like using characters like that, of really thinking about, okay, you know, if I'm playing a game, let's pretend. And that's where, going back to what you were saying about role playing, maybe you can be the one who has a strong reaction if you don't win. And it's like, well, that's weird, or that's different, or that was unexpected, or I don't really know what to do with that. But to play out what it might feel like for the other people involved when one of the participants has a strong reaction.
We'll be right back after a quick break. If you listen to this show, you probably know that at least 1 in 5 children is differently wired. But did you know that approximately 1 in 2 women will experience hair thinning? If you're part of that 50%, you are absolutely not alone. But because hair thinning for women isn't something people openly talk about, going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. So why not do something about it with Nutrafol? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth isn't going to cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, postpartum, menopause, even for different lifestyles like a plant-based diet. To get your personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, you can take a simple hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com. And because there's no prescription required, you can quickly get set up online with free shipping and automated deliveries, which make it so much easier to stick with your new hair care routine. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TILT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. This year, I've been working on becoming more attuned to my body, and so I'm starting to really recognize how periodic spikes in anxiety or disruptions to my routines can seriously throw my whole system off. And as I've been traveling a ton this past month, which is both disruptive and somewhat stressful, I'm especially glad that I have the extra support of Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement from Ritual with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Symbiotic Plus provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining to support a healthy gut barrier, and it comes in this very cool minty delayed-release capsule, which was specifically designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. The bonus is that the capsules don't need to be refrigerated, so I can easily bring them with me in my carry-on. On a personal level, I love that Ritual is committed to sustainability. They're a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable long-term to not only think about their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/tilt. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/tilt for 25% off. I love everything that you just shared. And I especially like that question of, you know, do you want to do this? Like, and what do you get out of it? Because I think, you know, I think a lot of our kids are pulled toward and drawn to play games because it also can be really exciting. It can like, there's dopamine hits involved and, you know, it can really be satisfying on so many levels. And so I understand how tricky it can be if you have a child who really wants to play and you kind of are observing it not going well. And then when other kids get involved, that can feel scary for us as parents because we worry about, you know, that our kid is going to be escalating and then it's going to impact the way other kids perceive them and kids are going to start to exclude or tease or bully. And so I understand that it can feel really stressful. And this is something I observed with my kiddo with video games too. As Ash got a little older and I would hear, you know, this game playing happening, virtual gaming, and I could hear just my end of the conversation. I was like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? And sometimes I'd communicate with the other parent and realize that their kid was just as escalated. And I was like, okay, good. It's not just my kid. But I do think this stuff is really, really hard. And I just want to throw this out there. Handling the frustration of losing is one of those skills that it can develop and it can grow over time, but it can take a long while. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, again, I think going back to, this is a 9-year-old. So, you know, there's so many coping strategies and emotional regulation skills and executive function skills that, that are going to develop over time. And those skills are going to help your child tap into strategies in the moment and help them not get as escalated when things don't go their way. But it is a long game.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that has been so helpful for me to realize is that, especially during these challenging situations, a 9-year-old chronologically in that state of frustration might be responding or reacting or having feelings more like a 6 or 7 year old. And so it's, you know, you might look at this 9 year old and be like, oh my gosh, you know, you should be able to handle this. But when we step back and view, okay, would we feel the same way about a child who is younger? The answer is probably no. We would be like, oh, okay, yep, they just haven't gotten there. They're like, they don't have those skills yet, like you were just talking about. But it's helpful to have that reframe of this isn't just a 9 year old. You know that there's anxiety, that there's impulse, you know, there might be impulse control, there might be emotional regulation stuff. And taking that into consideration and knowing, you know, it's not just that they're doing this to be difficult or they're not picking up on it right away. It is going to be a long haul. It is going to be a lot of repetition and a lot of support of, okay, you know, like this is what I noticed. And, you know, is there something, you know, do you want to practice this? Is this something, you know, yeah, you can vent about how it was unfair and how all of your feelings, like, let's vent about that. But then moving forward, what can we do the next time so that you don't have to feel that frustrated? Like, is it something that you want to do? And if so, there is a chance that you're not going to win. Are you still willing to go and do this? And can we practice some things to say if, you know, or do if we don't win and go from there? But there's, you know, it is not a quick fix of just, hey, get over it. You know, this is part of life. They feel things strongly.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, get over it. This is part of life, because I think that is something that we can internalize judgment from other parents and other people. If our kids are having a hard time publicly, you know, with losing. So I just want to throw that out there. I wrote about this in Differently Wired. There was a meme that was going around about, you know, being a poor sport was a reflection of, you know, how good of a parent you were. And yeah, that really hurt when I read that. So I just want to kind of, yeah, put that out there too. I know that this can be really, really tricky for a parent to navigate. I want to share just 2 more quick thoughts and then we'll wrap up. So one is, if your child isn't that into games, I'm thinking specifically at school and wondering if this is a child who it would feel like a relief to not have to play games at school or with other kids right now, that would be something I would also get curious about or just get clear on, right? Because you might want to then, in that case, think about how can we support and work with the school or the classroom environment to minimize the opportunities my child has to get dysregulated through gameplay, and to do that in a way that kind of preserves your kid's sense of belonging, because it can also feel weird if everyone else is doing something and you're not, because you can't handle it. But I would want to find out more. And if it is something your kid would actually really be happy to not participate in, get creative about how you could minimize that. And then the last thing I wanted to share is just when you are practicing, if you choose to practice like we've been talking about, it does kind of take the right opportunities. So you want to practice when your child is in a calm state. So if your kid is already kind of escalated, that's not the time to play. So you want to start with a calm nervous system, and you want to make sure that you are calm as well so that you can really be attuned and to help co-regulate throughout the gameplay and then support and look for opportunities where you could then, you know, reinforce like, oh gosh, I noticed you didn't win that round and you stayed calm. How did you do that? And in a really just curious way. So we can kind of coach our kids through this when the conditions are right. And the last thing I'll say is that if your child isn't working with an occupational therapist, like I'm thinking DIR floor time, which is what we did when Ash was quite young, a lot of that time was spent practicing playing games and losing and navigating all the unpredictability of gameplay. So that would be one last thing I would recommend.
Yeah. And there might be social groups that like near you, you know, where your kiddo is working with a trained therapist and you can have that a lot of times around that age, that is what they're focused on. So definitely look into that. Don't give up on the therapies.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for that question, Margaret. Thank you so much for joining me to talk through it. And we will see you guys on a next episode. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. To learn more about the resources mentioned in this Parent Lean In episode, go to the extensive show notes page on tiltparenting.com. To submit a question for a future episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. If you're looking for personal support from me and connection with the phenomenal community of parents raising neurodivergent kids, join us in the recently rebooted Differently Wired Club. The new Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Go to tiltparenting.com/club to learn more. The Tilt Parenting Podcast is hosted by me, Debbie Reber, author of Differently Wired and the founder of Tilt Parenting. To support this show, please join my Patreon campaign where you can set up a small monthly contribution. Just go to patreon.com/tiltparenting to learn more. If you want to follow Tilt on social media, go to @TiltParenting on Instagram and Facebook. Lastly, please take a minute to leave a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps this show stay visible so others can find it more easily. And that's all for this week. Stay safe, stay well, and take good care. And for more information about any of the parenting resources Tilt offers, visit tiltparenting.com.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.